Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance, they have a very simple saying. If service and price means something to you, it means everything to them. Well, thanks to Paul Page for being on the show today. Also, we had the assistant sports editor of the Baltimore Sun on today, talking about the Maryland entrance into the Big Ten. We're going to be talking with Dan Duggan in just a few moments, a conversation I had with him earlier about Rutgers' entrance into the Big Ten. They're having a big party there tonight about their entrance into the conference. You'll find a little different enthusiasm there. I apologize for Kevin having this Maryland Rutgers stuff on around the show he really wants to do.
Yeah, this Rutgers Maryland stuff, couldn't it wait another couple of days? Couldn't they wait till the second week of July? I mean, did it have to be July 1st?
He sent me this big thing from Pocono. Hunter Ray goes for second leg of Triple Crown. Power looks to tighten grip on championship lead.
Yep.
Andretti looks for breakthrough at hometown track. Dixon hopes to repeat season turnaround at Pocono. American drivers hope for glory on 4th of July weekend. Will competitive Verizon IndyCar Series season add 8th winner in 11 races?
All very good questions.
None of them answerable.
That's also true. Until, probably about 4 o'clock on Sunday. By the way, can you see Canada?
Well, it's Canada Day today.
Is it Canada Day? You're in Batavia, New York, which is between Rochester and Buffalo. And are you making a stop at the falls or any sightseeing?
No, actually, my son just got a job in Rochester, and I'm moving him in.
Any fishing on Lake Ontario?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to find a golf course.
There
I know
you
that.
Go. There you go.
At some point. So, yeah, we're going to try and do that. So let's bring in Dan Duggan here. This was done earlier today. I had a chance on the phone to talk with Dan about Rutgers entering into the Big Ten. You'll find a little different tone on the Rutgers side compared to the Maryland side here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Well, Dan, this might be a little different conversation than we have with Maryland people. How thrilled are the Rutgers people and the fans at base that they're in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost hard to describe just how excited everybody is. I mean, the phrase I've used is just over the moon. I think this is obviously the best-case scenario for them. If it didn't happen, the future is really kind of uncertain and bleak if they're going to be in that hodgepodge, the American Conference now. So, it just worked out perfectly. Obviously, the Big Ten bring so much that Rutgers people are excited about. So, it's pretty much just unbridled joy and waiting for this day for a long time, I think.
There have been, of late, some big games for Rutgers football. One of them was that game at Louisville that took place at High Point Solutions Stadium. Give us an idea of the anticipation for Penn State Rutgers in the Big Ten opener September 13th, as of right now.
I mean, this is through the roof. I wasn't here back for that Louisville game. I'm sure, that was probably a little bigger just because later in the season. But as far as just a regular game on the schedule, the third game of the season, I can't imagine anything rivaling the buzz for Penn State. Just the fact that the first Big Ten game, the primetime game, obviously Penn State, there's some history there, and Rutgers fans don't tend to love the Nittany Lions. So everything just kind of adds up to make the perfect atmosphere where, people obviously are excited for the season to start, but it almost feels like the season doesn't start until week three when they play Penn State.
I know for Maryland fans, for example, one game they're going to miss, especially in basketball, is their rivalry with Duke. Now, of course, Duke's biggest rival is North Carolina, but for Maryland, that Maryland-Duke game has taken on great significance. Is there any rival at all that Rutgers loses that people are lamenting, or is it, hey, they're in the rearview mirror and getting smaller, who cares?
Yeah, it's definitely the latter. I mean, they had some rivalries with Syracuse and UConn and even football kind of built one with Louisville, but there's certainly no tears shed, like you said, Maryland-Duke. I mean, that was a big-time rivalry with national implications. I mean, I think the UConn rivalry is just kind of, hey, we're close to each other, we're in the same conference, and that's kind of where that was born from. But nothing that anyone's going to miss, and they're much more looking forward to starting with Penn State and, you know, whoever else maybe develops. But nothing that the fans are really lamenting today.
I know that for Rutgers and Maryland, there's a six-year graduating scale before they finally get full television implementation on money. Can you give us an idea what the money does for the Rutgers athletic department? Does it essentially save it, or is it just a big shot in the arm?
Yeah, I don't think that's something you can overstate, because every year they're one of the leaders in the nation in the subsidy to the athletic department, and the new president, he wants it to go the other direction. So without this injection of money from the Big Ten, I don't see how that was going to happen. So then you start, going down some real doomsday scenarios where you're cutting more sports, or, just kind of the future is really murky when you're trying to cut money, yet you're already giving more money than anyone else in the country. And it wasn't like there was any big payday coming from the Americans. So, this money, even though it's not coming for 6 years, the full share, even just the increments they're going to be getting, it's going to be more than they would have received. And, it's going to be a challenge, I think, for the first 6 years. I think there's some expectation from Rutgers people that, we're in the money now, and all of a sudden we're going to be competing with Ohio State and all these other programs. And I think the reality is set in that there's still some catching up to do before they even kind of, get onto a level playing field. But, again, just where the money could go is really hard to put into words how much of a difference it's going to make.
Let's talk facilities for a moment. High Point Solutions Stadium is a relatively new stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. And at 52,000 seats, it's comparable to Indiana. It's comparable to Northwestern. It's comparable to Minnesota. Let's talk about Lewis Brown Athletic Center. Do they need to do something with that facility?
Yeah, I mean, that's really kind of the big piece that needs to happen here. Because, I think football, it's not the big house, but it's certainly serviceable, and it's pretty up-to-date, like you said. They don't need to make any major changes football-wise. I mean, obviously, you can always upgrade things just to keep up. But basketball, it's really behind. They've kind of been in the planning stages of doing things. And then, obviously, with all the controversy with Mike Rice and Tim Fernetti stepping down, that lost all its momentum. Now, new athletic director Julie Herman's, trying to build it back up her own vision, which is different. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if she's able to kind of rally the fundraising troops to really, spruce up what they need to do there, because it's way behind, and, the basketball program is way behind where football is as far as being competitive. So I think that that's going to be the really interesting thing to see with Julie Herman's tenure, is can she raise the money, because it needs to happen. I mean, the basketball program just is not going to be able to compete with the facilities they have now.
One thing that happened that was relatively quick was the fact that the Big Ten Network was able to get carriage on the prime level in suburban New York, and it sounds like all across New Jersey. Give me an idea of the importance of that for Rutgers fans, but at the same time, the acceptance, obviously, of the Big Ten in the area.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that. It came in a little.
It has to do with the fact the Big Ten Network got cleared so quickly in New Jersey. The importance of that for Rutgers fans, and also what it means about the acceptance of the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think honestly it means a little bit more to the Big Ten. Because I think there's no secret that they were coming to this market. The television sets had a lot to do with it. So if they had a protracted battle and weren't able to get on the kind of prime tier that they're on, I think they might have had some second thoughts. I mean, the fact that, we're 2 months out before the season even starts, and they're already on all the major providers, that's a huge coup for the, for the conference and the network. I mean, obviously, Rutgers fans are, it's great for them that they're going to be able to watch the Big Ten Network, but I think it's almost more of a plus for the conference and for the network.
Do you have, other than coming in together, does Rutgers really have any history with Merrill?
No, not much. I mean, I don't have the all-time record in front of me, but nothing significant. I mean, I think that's what's going to be interesting. They haven't even played a lot of these Big Ten teams, and some of them they played like once or twice, you know, way back in the day. So there's not a lot of existing rivalries and histories. I mean, I think Penn State probably the closest one. I don't know if you call it a rivalry, but there's at least history there. There's Maryland is going to be interesting. I think they'll be linked with Rutgers, but I don't know if that's going to develop. I think there's some interesting kind of storylines with Ralph Friedgen, who's now the Rutgers offensive coordinator, who, of course, was at Maryland as the head coach for 10 years. Maybe there'll be a little lingering bad blood there. I don't really know how far that's really going to extend, though. So I think that it's going to be, they'll be linked, but I don't see that necessarily being the number one rivalry. I think, you know, from a Rutgers perspective, they're going to want to be with Penn State.
Penn State, obviously, yeah. We know 2017 for the Big Ten men's basketball tournament will go to the Verizon Center in D.C. And we'll put the rumor out there because I may have a little better feel. But if they were to put the Big Ten tournament for 1 year in 2018 in Madison Square Garden, what would that mean, A, for Rutgers fans, and B, what would that mean for the Big Ten?
Again, I guess that one is going to mean more to the Big Ten fans and the Big Ten conference because, I mean, depending on how the conference tournament's set up, who knows if Rutgers will even be in it or, you know what I mean, or how far, how long.
No, they'll go 1 through 14. Everybody will be in it. So.
Okay, so, yeah, but I mean, they might not be a long stay, so I don't know if that's going to make a huge difference for them. But, yeah, I think that that's something. Obviously, Delaney is really bullish on getting into this market. You know, I think that that's the 2018 is the one they've looked at. I've kind of heard back and forth that it might happen, might not happen. But I think at some point they're certainly, you know, going to do it here. I think logistically it's going to be tough because, you know, the Big East is already in there, so you have to move the tournament up. And, you know, coaches aren't crazy about all that type of thing. But Delaney seems to kind of get what he wants when he puts his mind to something, so I wouldn't be surprised if it happens sooner than later. And, I mean, I think that would be just another step for the conference to come into this market and really establish a presence rather than just, oh, you know, we have a few games here or there. I mean, that would be a marquee event to have in the market.
Right, no question. And again, for the fans who don't realize it, you know, they've already set where 15 and 16 and 17 are between Chicago, Indianapolis, and D.C. 18 is still open, then it goes, rotates between Chicago and Indy after that. That's why I mentioned the 18 part. The fact that Jim Delaney has been so bullish on this and the Big Ten has done a good job of really promoting going to the East, has that made the Rutgers people feel better, more accepted? Because it always has seemed like Rutgers was, no matter what conference, on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. I think they've been pretty pleasantly surprised. Because I think that, again, a lot of the maybe cynical views was, you know, it's just for the market. And, you know, whether or not that's 100% the case, I mean, Delaney's done a good job. He's really stressed. I mean, he's been in the New York City and just up and down the East Coast in this area pretty much nonstop, it seems like, the last 2 or 3 months. He's going to be there tonight. They're having a celebration at the stadium to kind of officially kick off the membership. He's done a good job of making Rutgers seem important. The Big Ten Network president, Mark Silverman, has been stressing how they really want to feature Rutgers and how it's going to be great for Rutgers athletics to be on the network. So, again, I mean, there's obviously some realities about TV stats in the marketplace, but it does seem like they're going to give Rutgers every effort. It's not going to be just an afterthought.
For NJ.com, Dan, a word with Dan Duggan from NJ.com. For NJ.com, how do you now want to approach it leading into the first basketball season, the first football season? Leading into the first basketball season, what does NJ.com want to do for the fan base to get to know the conference better?
Yeah, I mean, we got some things planned. I'm actually going to be doing a little road trip in a couple of weeks, hitting all the college towns in the Eastern Division. Because, I mean, honestly, I mean, I grew up, you know, like anybody else in the Northeast, kind of watching the Big Ten, but you didn't live in it like people in the Midwest maybe did. So I'm really interested just to experience that and obviously, you know, write a bunch about all that, all the great traditions and the stadiums and all that type of stuff. So I think, I mean, we've covered it, you know, the last 18 months. It's been a pretty steady diet of Big Ten coverage. Part of me is breathing a sigh of relief that July 1st is finally here, and maybe I don't have to write about it every day for the next, you know, month. But, yeah, I mean, I'm already in touch with beat writers from the different teams. I want to you know, be able to cover this as fully as possible, and it's different than last year because I don't think Rutgers fans really cared what was going on with the Cincinnati program or the South Florida program. I think when you talk about Michigan, you talk about Penn State, you talk about Ohio State, people actually care because, you know, that's national interest. So we're definitely going to just kind of just ramp up all the Big Ten coverage we can. I think it's going to be great for every. It's going to be one of those things where, you know, everyone's going to benefit from this. The, you know, Rutgers will, the media will live around here because obviously more interest, more eyeballs, and that's always.
State College, we'd love to have you on in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it.
Your tour of the Eastern Division. Because the summer goes along, getting to learn 13 new programs.
Dan Duggan joining us from NJ.com. Now we'll open up the phone lines at 800-795-9565. Talk about whatever you want. World Cup is scoreless, 19 minutes deep. And now here's an opportunity to talk about the topics that Kevin would like to talk about. 800-795-9565. We will come back with a look at the World Cup and other items as well. Today's show brought to you by Crossroads Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth
what
is
they want.
I know, but there are not too many songs about Argentina, okay?
Get this story. Have you heard this story?
All right.
Corner Canyon High School. Corner Canyon High School has not yet opened. It's a new school, Draper, Utah. Announced this week it has chosen its mascot and school colors. They've chosen to be called, I believe the Cougars. They're going to be called the Chargers.
The Chargers, okay.
The Chargers. It was not the most popular name with the kids, though. The top vote getter with 23% was the Cougars, followed by Chargers, Diamondbacks, Falcons, Raptors, Broncos, Bears, and Cavaliers. But the
I see a reoccurring pattern there is what I was laughing about.
Well, but the Cougar was rejected as the mascot because school board members decided it might be offensive to middle-aged women.
Of all the of all the things that would be rejected there, that would not be the reason I would think that Cougar would be rejected.
I wouldn't have thought of that in a million years.
No.
But there's a TV show that Courtney Cox started called Cougar Town.
Yeah, it's on TNT now. Used to be an ABC series, now it's a TNT series. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the show, by the way.
I mean, that's, you know, that would be middle-aged men and women using a credit card. I mean, what the...
How does San Diego feel about that, is my question.
Well, they're the Chargers, not the Cougars, so...
Well, but did you see the full... Safe. I mean, the full list that you're reading, you know, the Chargers and everything, I mean, there were all names that are already being used.
Right. Yeah, they're all being used, every one of them. Chargers, Diamondbacks, Falcons, Raptors, Broncos, Bears, and Cavaliers. Look, everything's taken. There's nothing new today.
That's true.
I have to admit, though, here in Batavia, their nickname, I haven't heard anywhere else. The Muck Dogs.
And I don't think you will.
Something tells me that that is not going to be a rage.
Like the Mud Hens.
They thought it would offend middle-aged women. I looked at that and thought, wow, I never even thought of that.
So much for an appearance by Courtney Cox at their school now.
Out. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Bob Pleasant Mills at Northumberland and News Radio 1070 WKO.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you. And today, being brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, Auto Home Life Business Insurance. They have a very simple motto. If service and price means something to you, well, then it means everything to them. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. They've served the Valley for more than 5 decades. Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Final half hour is going to be an open line. Our thanks to our guests from Rutgers and Maryland, respectively. And, yes, Paul Page from Poconos, who are taking you around the globe here, it seems, to get you up to date on what's going on. Dan Duggan joined us from NJ.com today. David Selig from the Baltimore Sun to talk about Maryland Rutgers getting in officially. They had a flag raising this morning over at the Penn State golf courses. And they put all the flags of all the golf participants in the Big Ten. Well, it turns out that all 14 participate in the sport of men's and the sports of men's and women's golf. So they had the flag raising today for Maryland Rutgers and the golf tournament around it as well, which was really nice this morning. So they're officially in. It, you know, there's nothing earth-shattering about that. It was everybody knew they were coming in today. But still, you now have a conference with 14 schools in it. I think for Penn State, there is an air of anticipation and excitement about it. For Penn State fans, an air of anticipation and excitement about it because they're regional. That's the big reason why. Penn State fans can now travel, especially, you know, it's to Rutgers, whether they want to watch wrestling, football, men's or women's basketball, whatever. They can go down to College Park with relative ease. Anywhere else in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State's a real hike. Well, Maryland and Rutgers are not hikes. I mean, it is to Penn State what going from Northwestern to Purdue, Indiana, or Illinois, or Wisconsin happens to about the same distance. So for Penn State, that's a big plus. The rest of the conference is not going to share share that kind of juice and enthusiasm about it, especially the Rutgers part. Maryland brings to the table one heck of a basketball program, which I think everybody knows. But football-wise, even though Maryland probably has its best football team in 5 years, and Randy Edsall probably has them going in the right direction, it seems like that, there's not going to be tremendous enthusiasm about Maryland. There's some, but there are other schools where if they had put them in, they would have been far more excited. Missouri would have brought more juice to the table. Texas obviously would have. There had been that dalliance with Texas. I think Louisville would have, which entered the ACC today. Notre Dame obviously was the home run, but that didn't work, and Jim Delaney tried everything he could in 1999 to lure them. So Maryland and Rutgers are in. Penn State will play at Rutgers September 13th. They will play Maryland in Beaver Stadium November 1st. And in basketball, they will have home and aways with both Maryland and Rutgers. They are two of the five schools on Penn State's home and away list for men's basketball this season. They have all now they have 14 schools that have wrestling programs in the conference. They both add baseball to the conference. They add lacrosse to the conference, which is why they're going to have a Big Ten men's lacrosse conference and a women's lacrosse conference. So you're able to have that because now you have six schools that have lacrosse. With the addition of Johns Hopkins on the men's side, you'll now have six schools with lacrosse as well. So that's what it brings to the table.
Steve, how long
Maria
before...
Sharapova...
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, how long before Rutgers plays Penn State and they decide to play this one at, like, the Link or be able to play it at a bigger stadium? I know this year they're playing at Piscataway, but I see in 2 years an opportunity for Rutgers to really make some money but if they have that game at the Link.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't play at the Link. I'd play it at Giant Stadium, but which is a lot closer.
Well, that's true. I didn't really. That's a good point. Proximity-wise, right?
I think they will want to play all their games at High Point Solutions Stadium. I think they're going to want to play all their games there. It's 52,000 seats. It creates a demand for tickets there. I think even though it'll be a graduated scale of 6 years before they get the full amount in a television year. You know, same thing for Rutgers. Nebraska's halfway through its six-year incremental increase. I think they're going to want to play all those games there. Now, Penn State's going to be playing Maryland. Now, Byrd Stadium's a little bit smaller than High Point Solutions Stadium. I think Byrd Stadium's 48,000, while Rutgers, their stadium's 52,000. Penn State is going to play Maryland at M&T Bank Stadium next year.
Yeah, that I can understand, too.
Yeah, they're going to play where the Ravens are going to play. But I do see a point where they'll go to Byrd Stadium. But I think for Maryland, they're going to have to first of all, Maryland Comcast, the Comcast Center is a fabulous building. They're probably going to have to do something with Byrd Stadium. I know they've made improvements, but they're probably going to have to do more. Rutgers doesn't really have to do anything with High Point Solutions Stadium, but they do have to do something with the Lewis Brown Athletic Center.
Well, one thing that I thought that was
700 seats.
One thing I thought that was really interesting in the being in the Philadelphia area in South Jersey, they're really promoting Rutgers football heavy right now, in the Philadelphia area and in South Jersey too.
They've had some good teams. I guess Byrd Stadium's now 54,000. Okay, so it's 54,000 now. So it's slightly bigger than Rutgers. I think for Rutgers, they've had a couple of seasons where Greg Schiano did a good job of bringing them back. And he brought them back to a point. Kyle Flood, we'll see what he does with it. But they've never had a schedule that had on at Ohio.
Yeah, you were alluding to, and we just lost you there for a second, but you were alluding to that they've never had a schedule where they've had Ohio State and I'm sure Michigan. And
Michigan State and Penn State on it all at the same time. I mean, you know, with all due respect to a schedule that has UConn, good program, has Louisville, obviously a really good program, you know, Syracuse a good program, Pitt's a good program. They have not had, though, the marquee that you're going to have here with this. mean, you're just not going to have. I mean, the marquee is different. Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. I think they have Wisconsin on their schedule this year as well. So you just don't have. They've never had a schedule like that, where there's some excitement around who you're playing. And, I mean, we'll see how long that excitement lasts, but at least initially, I think that it's, for them, this is the home run they've been aching for a long time, because Rutgers has always been the poor kid on the block. How about that? And financially, they need the money desperately. I mean, this is... I don't know if it solves all of their financial problems at Rutgers, but it goes a long way to solving a lot of them. How about that? And for Maryland, the same thing. It solves a lot of their financial problems, a lot of financial problems. Look, and Rutgers and Maryland are two excellent examples of what we've been trying to talk about here for weeks and weeks and weeks. With the O'Bannon trial going on, everyone's been talking about football and men's basketball players should be paid. Well, Maryland and Rutgers are two examples of schools that Maryland's dropped sports. They're in the red. Rutgers is deeply in the red. How much more deeply in the red do you want to put them?
You know, I thought it was funny. More? One of the things that I thought was really funny when you were talking with... I think it was Dan Duggan from NJ.com with Rutgers. You know, he was talking about how it was exciting for Rutgers simply because they're going to make more money on a partial from the Big Ten than they would have if they would have stayed in their conference.
Yes. Yeah, and I'd have to look up what the percentages are as to how you go from year one to two, three, four, five, and then do a full integration in six. And if the number is what they say it's going to be in year six, it's going to be $44.5 million. That's full integration. That's where everybody should be. Now, you know, Nebraska's halfway through. They're going to their fourth year in the Big Ten. Already their fourth year, believe it or not. And I mean, obviously for them, it's worked out well. And look what they did with Pinnacle Bank Arena. Brand new arena, downtown Lincoln, gorgeous facility. They sold it out for every single game they made the NCAA tournament this year. Oh, yes, 1 minute of extra time. Belgium and the U.S. still scoreless.
Yeah, the U.S. being outshot 9-1 right now.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm sorry, 9-2. 9-2. You know, I have to admit, I was watching the Argentina game earlier today, the end of it. They were in the 120th minute because they were in extra time again. And yeah. It was scoreless. Now, the last 10 minutes of that game was outstanding. It was back and forth, the 1-0 lead for Argentina, and then playing out the rest of extra time. Giving the Swiss a chance to, actually with almost no time left, having a kick right in front of the goal for a shot to tie it back up. Yeah. 10 minutes of that game was exciting. If you could figure out a way to make the 110 before it as interesting and as exciting, I think soccer takes off a lot more in the U.S. At least, and that's the way I look at it. That's the missing link for me. A scoreless game doesn't entertain me.
Oh, that doesn't entertain anybody.
But 90 minutes.
The planet, we're scoreless. Yeah.
But, you know, you go 90 minutes and it's not so bad. 90 minutes is better than a baseball game that goes scoreless in the nine and a no-hitter not out of the question or something like that. Or a football game that actually goes scoreless at the half. I mean, still, 90 minutes of scoreless is better.
I did, in 2004, a Penn State-Iowa game that finished up 6-4. No one walked out of there going, wow, I saw a classic.
Well, now see, I can debate that a little bit because I did a game that was scoreless into overtime, and it was Shikellamy Jersey Shore. And the first overtime, there was no score, but the chance back for Jersey Shore, they did score, and I think it was on fourth down to get a 6-0 win. Now, nobody talks about the first four quarters of football, but the last few plays in overtime, everybody remembers.
Well, overtime's one thing. But... you know, you look at any sport. Like I did a basketball game. I've done a couple, 36-33, 38-33. They were deemed classics. Now, a 1-0 no-hitter or a 1-0 out duel or a 2-1 Lester beats Tanaka might be a classic game. But what was the U.S. one? Germany, 1-0.
Yeah, and that was right before the in extra time. That was an extra time, I think.
No, it was in regulation.
Oh, was it in regulation?
Right. Yeah, 1-0. Okay, 1-0. The United States had no shots on goal. Zero. Okay.
Well, they only have two more right now in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, they're still scoreless, though. They still have a shot.
Yeah, they did go to half now scoreless.
All right. Now, let's talk for a moment about the fact soccer, this will be obviously the ratings have been astronomical. But my question is, the World Cup is an event. It's not just a sport. It's an event. It's an event that takes place every 4 years. Okay? You'll get more soccer fans out of this, but how much is it USA on the front and that it's an event as opposed to the sport itself?
Well, and how long can it last considering the next World Cup isn't for 4 years? I mean, let's say the United States does really well here, and they do make it through the first round of the knockout round, or maybe even the second, but don't win at all. Is there still going to be enough juice to go 4 years? Because MLS just isn't cutting it for anybody.
Well, that's not true. It's maybe not cutting it on TV ratings, Kevin, but it's cutting it at some places at the gate. Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, Kansas City, Los Angeles are all drawing extremely well. So's Montreal. They're all drawing well. And MLS is averaging, now obviously they have outdoor stadiums and they're bigger, but they're averaging more fans per game than the NBA or the NHL.
But the question is, can they do that without having television numbers? Because I would think the television numbers would be the growth of the sport because that gets more people in the stadium.
Agreed. Let's wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. Olé!
Back in 2006, when the State College Spikes started out, they had a shortstop named Jose Salazar. And every time he came to the plate, the fans would chant, Jose, 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 Jose.
Yeah, I could see that one coming.
So they did that. Every day we have been focused upon what's been happening at the border with young people coming in. Well, you know, if you're going to have 52,000 young people, I believe, are at the border now that have come across, and, you know, whatever happens to them, we'll see. But say they stay. Well, those are 52,000 young people who grow up on what sport?
Steve, I think
that's what's happened in the country.
I think you mentioned this the other day, that the thing that intrigues, I think, the world about soccer is it's very inexpensive to do. And if you're, even in America, it's not that expensive. All you have to have is a ball and something to make some sort of a goal out of. And when you're talking about it at an AYSO level, it's a very inexpensive sport for parents to let their kids get involved in. You have to buy a pair of shin guards, maybe a uniform, and a lot of times they recycle those, and that's it.
Well, I think you're finding now that there are some sports that have done very well internationally. Basketball is certainly one of them. They've done a lot better internationally. Baseball, baseball is a passion for those in Asia. It's a passion for those in Latin America. Soccer is a passion for those in Latin America. So you have a lot of people who have crossed the border into this country, more coming over right now, that you're seeing the change in demographics in this country. I also think that soccer, because of the great job that the Premier League has done of being promoted in this country, now they have a contract with NBC Sports Net, that's opened the door for people to enjoy it even more so and watch it at a very high level. And I think that has helped translate into what you're seeing in the World Cup right now. The question is, with the World Cup, is whether or not it is going to translate and stay strong over the next 3 years. And also, what will ESPN do? I mean, because ESPN is not going to be broadcasting the World Cup in 18 or 22. Fox Sports is going to get it. So does ESPN back off in its coverage? And if they do, does that change sports nets that we want? But ESPN still has a greater audience than anybody else. And that's a factor. That's a factor that has to be at least discussed. And we will do that tomorrow. Today's show has been brought to you by Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto Home Life Business Insurance. Service and price means something to you that means something to them. At Edwards 11 to 15, Hummelswarth.